I'm Roanne Acrain. You've tuned into a very busy WGXC morning show today. We're going to debut a new segment on the radio each week. We will hear an excerpt of the Nature Calls Conversations from the Hudson Valley podcast from the Master Gardeners of the Cornell Cooperative Extension of Columbia and Greene Counties. Seed starting is the theme this week with guest Brianna Davis from the Green Bee Greenhouse in Cornwallville in Greene County, talking with host Gene Thomas and Tim Kennelty on the Nature Calls Conversations with the Hudson Valley podcast excerpt from the Master Gardeners of the Cornell Cooperative Extension. Stay tuned for that. We'll also hear the WGXC Congressional Report with news from the 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st Congressional Districts. And we'll hear about faith leaders in Albany protesting for state budget as the leaders in the Senate Assembly and the governor negotiate the state budget that is over 2 weeks late already. We'll see if they extend it today. Stay tuned for all that on the WGXC Morning Show, plus the local news, the better weather, and more on 90.7 FM WGXC solar-powered radio for open ears.
Hi, this is Danette Gorman from HelpSyriasKids.org. We are connecting the Hudson community with a Syrian refugee camp in Ketermaya, Lebanon. You're listening to WGXC ACRA.
Brooklyn Vegan runs down the lineup for the 2023 edition of 24-Hour Drone, set for May 27th through 28th at Basilica Hudson in Hudson. The annual event has been on hold in person since 2019 because of the COVID-19 pandemic. This year, the show is back in person with Yuka C. Honda of Saibo Mato, Wolf Eyes, Liturgy, Sarah Hines, Laura Ortman, and others performing at the event, which each year is webcast at WGXC.org and broadcast on 90.7 FM. The Basilica Hudson website has all the details about the 24-hour drone show May 27th and 28th at Basilica Hudson and will air on WGXC.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at WGXC.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org/donate now.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of John Mason of Chatham, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to WGXC.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in ACRA with the WGXC Daily News for Monday, April 17th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about any of these stories. Mid-Hudson News reports that New York's new budget was due April 1st, but it is still not been unveiled. State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli says Governor Kathy Hochul and the legislative leaders in the state Senate and Assembly have until April 18th to pass the budget or a third deadline extender to make sure thousands of state workers get their paychecks. Governor Kathy Hochul's requested changes in the 2019 bail law remain the main holdup in negotiations between the executive and legislative branches. But Albany is not a town of transparency, and no one can say for sure what will be in the eventual budget or when it will be passed. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News. The Altamont Enterprise reports that the town of Rensselaerville Water and Sewer Advisory Committee member Ed Asukas says that the Environmental Protection Agency is going to issue a formal notice to the town because of its frequent water quality violations. Asukas said that at a town board meeting last month, but did not get back to the newspaper to comment on the issue. Rensselaerville water operator John Benson and supervisor John Dulcey could also not be reached for comment. The EPA's Regional Deputy Director of Public Affairs, Elias Rodriguez, says the agency does not comment on, quote, ongoing or potentially ongoing enforcement actions, unquote. At the town board meeting, Asukas said that Rensselaerville had, quote, come up on the EPA's radar because of the number of times that we've fallen below acceptable parameters, and they are going to be issuing a formal notice to the town, unquote. The Southern Albany County town's water comes from Lake Miosis, and recently cleaning that water has resulted in high levels of disinfection byproducts for at least the last couple of years. In 2021, the water exceeded the limits on trihalomethanes and haloacetic acids 5. Town Clerk Victoria Craker said in December that recent upgrades to the water system had decreased the contamination levels to, quote, significantly below, unquote, the regulatory limit. Read more about the story in the Altamont Enterprise. New York State of Politics reports that the New York City National Organization for Women has come out against Governor Kathy Hochul's nominee for the state's top judge. Now NYC is objecting to Judge Rowan Wilson's nomination for Chief Judge of New York State's highest court because of his decision last month in the case People v. Regan. On the Court of Appeals, Wilson ruled that a guilty verdict in a rape case should be vacated. NYC's Executive Director Sonia Osorio said, quote, as advocates for survivors of sexual assault, we are outraged that Judge Rowan voted to strip a rape survivor of justice. In fact, he wrote the opinion, unquote. The state Senate takes up Wilson's nomination on April 17th. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. WNYT reports that so far this spring, wildfires have burned more than 400 acres in New York. There have been recent wildfires locally in Albany, Schoharie, Otsego, and Orange counties. Slingerland's fire chief, Craig Slewers, said, quote, I believe this year started out with a lot more than past years. We had a lot of wind, and that doesn't help, and the dryness of the ground. People think with all the rain that it wouldn't be that dry, but the wind dries the ground out, dries leaves out, and everything starts burning on top, unquote. Open burning causes the most wildfires, and there is a ban prohibiting residential burning through May 14th. Read more about this story at the WNYT website, and read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org.
Hello, and welcome to the better weather for Monday, April 17th. We are 29.3% of the way through the year with 65 days left until summer. Local early morning temperatures range from 52 degrees in Tannersville to 59 in Kinderhook. Regional average soil temperature is 57 degrees. Pollen levels will be low today, then ramp up to high tomorrow and Wednesday. A quick apology for Friday, I was reading off the mountain temperatures, so the weekend was probably warmer than you expected. That has been corrected, and today, down on the ground, we'll see a batch of rain roll through, getting strongest from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. We see a high temperature of 65 at 3 p.m. Rain is expected to taper off by 7 p.m. Overnight, we drop to 44 degrees. Then, tomorrow looks moist and cloudy all day. Rain chances linger until dark. We see a high of 56 degrees. Overnight, temperatures fall to 38. Then, on Wednesday, it will be dry and windy with a high of 55. Thursday, still dry with a high of 65. I don't see freezing temperatures on the schedule at all. Today's river temperature will be 55.2 degrees. So, today's tide schedule is high tide at 1:22 a.m., low at 7:54 a.m., high at 1:44 p.m., and low tide at 8:19 p.m. Today's tide strength will be high. Sunset today will be at 7:23 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:08 a.m. Looking way up, we see today, 9 a.m., SpaceX will attempt to launch the most powerful rocket ever. Live streams start 45 minutes beforehand. X-class flare chances today are at 10%. Solar wind speed is currently 366 kilometers per second at 4.6 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 1.6. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 155. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Listen to music and voices. Listen to art and discussion. Listen to work and play. Listen to eat and drink. Listen to up and down. Listen to noise and fun. Listen to purple and green. Listen to pink and blue. Listen to a heart rainbow. Listen to wizards and witches. Listen to jazz play. Listen to dogs and mice. Listen to Rome and Italy. Listen to Mars and Venus. Listen to the planet. Listen to the planet. Listen to ladies and dummies. Listen to books. Listen to teeth and trunks. Listen to bath time and nap time. Listen to Kaizen and Violet. Listen to Stars and Stripes. Listen to Texas and listen to bells and waterfalls. Listen to churches and steeple. Dance and sing and listen and bells. Listen to making things, stripes and zigzags. Listen to clouds and leaves, bike riding and zigzagging. No, listen to bike riding and curving. Listen to the radio going on and on. Listen to the radio going on and on. Listen to the radio WGXC. We'll be right back.
Next, we're going to hear from the Master Gardeners at the Cornell Cooperative Extension. They have a podcast called Nature Calls, Conversations from the Hudson Valley. And each week on WGXC, we'll hear different segments from the show focused on local gardening and gardening for the time of year it is. This week, we start with Brianna Davis from the Green Bee Greenhouse in Cornwallville in Greene County as the guest on Nature Calls, Conversations from the Hudson Valley with the Master Gardeners and host Gene Thomas and Tim Kennelty. Here is the seed starting episode.
Welcome to Nature Calls, Conversations from the Hudson Valley. Our team's goal is to present science-based information about gardening and all things nature in New York's Hudson Valley. Host Gene and Tim, along with team members Teresa and Linda, are Master Gardener volunteers for New York's Columbia and Greene counties. So if you're interested in gardening or nature or nuggets of information about what's happening outside your door, settle in. Enjoy the conversation. Whatever the season, we have something to say.
Hi, I'm Tim Kennelty.
And I'm Gene Thomas.
Hey, Gene, how you doing today?
I'm doing great.
And this is Nature Calls, Conversations from the Hudson Valley, another edition. Great,
mm-hmm.
Huh? Who do we have today, Gene? Who's our special guest? A really special guest, right?
Oh, yeah, Brianna Davis from Green Bee Nursery.
She's wonderful. We had such a good time talking to her, didn't we?
Yeah, she grows lots and lots of veggies, seedlings.
Yeah, veggies. She's an expert seedling grower.
And she has her own system. She doesn't work like the big commercial outfits because it's just her and two little apprentice helpers.
Yeah, she grows a huge number of different vegetable varieties and really healthy plants. I mean, I'm not a person who plants from seed, so I'm always dependent on people like Brianna.
And she's always very careful about which varieties. She researches everything. She's got certain things she's kept year after year.
And customers come in and ask her for specific varieties. And we asked her about tomato varieties, which ones are most popular and which ones she grows. And she grows a lot of different tomatoes. It's a really good interview with her, and they do a lot of good things in the community, too. She was really fun to talk with, and we're anxious to actually go to the nursery.
Yeah. And Teresa's talking to us today about her veggie patch.
Yeah, this actually syncs up, but did we even plan this? That Teresa's going to talk about soil. Soil's really important, right?
Soil is obviously the dirt that's underneath everything, but what soil contributes is way beyond anything we would even imagine.
Yeah, it's really important to make sure you have organic matter in the soil. It's really important to test your pH because some vegetables don't grow as well in different pHs.
There's so many variables.
Yeah.
The pH, the texture, the content, how much water the soil will retain if it's too much or too little. But pH is the biggie. You want to get your chemical balances all sorted out so you get your nutrients into your veggies.
It's one of the most important things to do when you start a vegetable garden is to have your soil tested. We do that as Master Gardeners, but there's also soil testing kits out there. You really want to know what the pH is. So our finale today is the hum of the hive.
This is another fascinating episode with Linda's usual standard of excellence, and she talks about house bees.
Yeah, I mean, I'm finding that so many people who don't even keep bees are really interested in the hum of the hive, and this is about house bees, which I didn't even know existed. It's amazing. It's really fascinating, isn't it?
And they start out their lives as housemaids. I think that is wicked cool.
Yeah, the youngest ones, the ones that are newly hatched, clean the cells, and then they move on to the next task.
But they're not allowed to until they clean their cell properly.
That's right.
Sound familiar?
They have to keep going back. It sounds like my childhood. I don't know about you.
I still don't make my bed.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, you wouldn't ever graduate then. You would never be a mortuary bee or a forager. Right. You'd never get to be a forager.
No.
No, there's a whole progression, and it takes not just time, but they have to kind of build through all these different activities to get to the point where they can leave the hive and be a forager. The whole idea of these being communal and that they just have this whole way of allocating resources and jobs, it's amazing, really. Can't wait to hear about this.
We're going to listen in right now.
Hi,
Welcome back to Nature Calls, Conversations from the Hudson Valley. This is Jean Thomas.
And Tim Kennelty.
Our conversation today is with Brianna Davis, co-owner of Green Bee Greenhouse Limited in Cornwallville, New York. Green Bee is a nursery greenhouse, and Brianna is in charge of the greenhouse operation. Welcome, Brianna.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Great. We've already interviewed your partner, Eli Joseph Hunter, about the nursery side of the business. Could you give us a brief history of how you and Eli came to be involved in this endeavor?
Sure. Well, I think you heard Eli's path, and I came to this from farming. I started off as a very small scale CSA farmer in Tivoli and found that I really enjoyed the greenhouse work of seedlings in early spring. And so we took that home with us and started Green Bee Greenhouse in 2010, just as a seedling production company only. We were only wholesaling, and we didn't have the full nursery that we have today. When our daughter was born, we switched gears and just were doing the greenhouse full time instead of working at our previous jobs at the Phantom Gardener. That's really how Green Bee came to be.
That's great. I did not know you had Tivoli background and Phantom Gardener background. Very cool. So we invited you to talk to us today because your greenhouse production of vegetable seedlings. And we're hoping you can tell our listeners some of the methods you use for starting plants from seed. Let's start at the beginning. Where do you get your seeds? Where do you source them? Do you have a few suppliers? Do you have many suppliers? Tell us about that.
Sure. I've mainly been with the same suppliers for many years now. Fedco is my favorite place to get seeds. It's something that many people have access to. Because we're growing on a much larger scale than home gardeners, we do obviously get the larger sizes. And that's really where the difference lies in terms of what people have access to for home growing. And I love Fedco because they really vet their seed suppliers so that I don't have to do that work. And they also do a lot of social justice work with their business. It's a cooperative in Maine. I also love Johnny's seeds. They're very high quality and reliable always in their germination rates. And I use Seed Savers Exchange for the more unusual heirlooms that I love to grow and that people love to grow in their gardens.
So do you save and recycle any of your own seed?
I wish that I had time in my life to do that. And someday maybe I will. But right now, no, I do not. I do sometimes save seed from the previous years because I know how to do that while maintaining their germination rates. And so I do save seed over so that I'm not wasting. But I do buy new seed of certain varieties that the seed doesn't really hold very well.
So it must be really complicated to organize all this because I assume that you have to start certain seed at certain times of the year. Do you have massive spreadsheets or how do you organize all of this?
Yeah, I do not have a massive spreadsheet, though I wish that I did. Our planting schedule is very time sensitive and it all lives in my brain. I don't have it written down anywhere and I am able to do it every year just by routine and instinct, really. I know exactly how long each variety of vegetable will take to go from a tiny little seed that I'm planting in the greenhouse to a big, robust, sturdy seedling that's ready to get planted in someone's garden or my own. We start in just a few weeks. It's getting closer every day, but we start in the greenhouse around March 7th or so. And it's a very fast progression from one table of germinating seedlings to an entire greenhouse full of plants that rotates and gets pumped out every single day. So it goes very quickly once it starts.
You have no idea what a comfort that is to the rest of us who struggle along and think that you professionals are all so tidy and organized. Can you tell us a little bit about your overall process and methods to get a seed from planting to potting up? I know you mentioned having a small space on a bench to all of a sudden a full greenhouse, and I know growing is the operative word. They keep needing more space. So what's your general process and method?
Let's see. So to general, this is a very big generalization because every single vegetable and herb and flower needs its own set of parameters. But in general, I start most of my seeds on a heat mat on the very warm side of our greenhouse where the big furnace is. And then once they germinate, they get potted up into either a cell pack or one of our large fiber pots. We try to reduce the amount of plastic that we use as much as possible. Their growth is regulated mostly by temperature in the greenhouse. And there are some elements that we don't have control over. Like if we have a really cloudy spring, it's harder to regulate the growth than if we have a really bright sunny spring without a lot of cloudy days. And then once they are potted up and growing out, as the planting dates get closer, we start hardening off our plants, which I think is something that sets us aside from some of the larger box stores and nurseries that sell vegetable seedlings. What we do is, if you've been to our nursery, you'll see that we have all of our vegetable seedlings on big tables that are on wheels. When we're hardening plants off, every single day, I wheel all of those big, huge tables out of the greenhouse. And Eli picks them up with a tractor and then moves them into our retail area. We incrementally increase the amount of time they have outside so that by the time they are being brought home to your garden, they're really tough and sturdy and their cells have built up a lot of resistance to the full sun and wind and cooler temperatures so that they're just ready to go.
That was an excerpt of an interview from the Nature Calls Conversations from the Hudson Valley podcast from the master gardeners of the Cornell Cooperative Extension for Columbia and Greene Counties. You can hear the full episode at the Cornell Cooperative Extension webpage or at the WGXC archives at wgxc.org or at ccecolumbiagreen.org. I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Animal Report, tuning in the sounds and reports of nature on the wave farm in Greene County. This week, we have heard from some owls and a couple of feisty geese in the wave farm pond next to Zach Poff's pond station. There was a report of a cold-blooded critter, a very small snake, out sunning in the 70-plus degree weather. And several large turtles were also spotted in the wave farm pond this week, as well as a number of the smaller sized ones. On Saturday, April 15th, the big new addition to Wave Farm was the color yellow as the first dandelions began to take over the lawns. This has been the Wave Farm Animal Report. Tune in to all sorts of live web streams from Wave Farm to hear the local fauna and flora, including Zach Poff's Pond Station, Quintron's Weather Warlock, Quintron's Traffic Sacks, the test site for Acoustic Commons Microphone in the Woods at Wave Farm, Solar Radio, and the Here Goes Radio Telescope. All live web streams at wgxc.org or wavefarm.org. Click on the Listen button to hear more.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
You can gauge the strength of a democracy based on the strength of women in that democracy.
Vice President Kamala Harris told abortion rights supporters in Los Angeles they're facing a critical point in our nation's history. Activists rallied across the country as the Supreme Court intervened to give itself time to consider opposing court rulings on the abortion medication mifepristone. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham tells ABC News Georgia Congresswoman and fellow Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene shouldn't be praising the 21-year-old just arrested for leaking classified documents. He called Greene's remarks irresponsible.
There are military members serving today from Georgia and other places who are less safe because of what this airman did. There is no justification for this.
Greene says the Air National Guardsman was charged because he is white, male, and Christian. The leaked documents reveal details of NATO intelligence about the Ukraine war, as well as U.S. intelligence gathering worldwide.
And I say to my colleagues on the other side of the aisle that no matter what you vote, you have the votes, but you will not be victorious because there are generations of young people who see what is going on.
Tennessee Democratic State Representative Justin Jones says young voters will remember Republican efforts to stifle his voice by kicking him out of the legislature. A new report by the National Urban League calls undermining black officials among the greatest threats to democracy. The report also cites efforts to exclude black history from classrooms and attempts to restrict voter access. Senator Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota tells ABC News that California Senator Dianne Feinstein made the right decision to step down from the Judiciary Committee.
If this goes on month after month after month, then she's going to have to make a decision with her family and her friends about what her future holds.
Feinstein is 89 and shows signs of decline, but Klobuchar says Democrats will need her vote soon to raise the debt ceiling. Fox News will defend itself in a Delaware courtroom today as trial starts on the $1.6 billion Dominion voting system's defamation suit. Dominion says it was damaged by Fox News hosts repeating 2020 election fraud conspiracy claims they knew were false.
If you're concerned about the Ukraine, we need to pass this bill. If you're concerned about feeding hungry people in this country, we need to pass this bill.
Democratic Montana Senator John Tester wants lawmakers to work together on an omnibus spending bill, but the GOP-led legislature back home aims to change primary rules to hobble him in next year's re-election bid. Minor candidates could drain GOP votes in Montana, so they want only the top two candidates to advance. And the city of Boston marks 10 years since the marathon bombing left 3 dead and nearly 300 injured. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. You may have heard us repeat the famous line from campaign finance reform activist Granny D. Haddock, "Democracy is not something we have, it's something we do." Today, we have a user's guide to the American Democracy Minute to help you do democracy. In addition to our 90-second report each day, we also give you tools on AmericanDemocracyMinute.org to dig deeper. Read the script and follow the links to the in-depth articles and resources we use to write the story. Whenever possible, we'll provide articles from local news outlets and original source material. Occasionally, we'll do an explainer series, like our recent series Shining a Light on Dark Money, our reports on democracy dollars and matching funds, campaign finance systems, or stories on how ranked choice voting works. Like our news stories, we'll always give you the links to take a deep dive into the subject. Are you someone who wants to take action but doesn't know where to start? Most days, we give you links to the democracy groups taking action in your state, whether it's the Freedom to Vote, Money in Politics, redistricting and gerrymandering, or other critical democracy issues. Consider volunteering or donating. Democracy could really use your help. In addition to AmericanDemocracyMinute.org, you can also find us on Facebook at American Democracy Minute, on Twitter at Democracy Minute, your favorite podcast provider, and of course, this radio station. Thanks for being a listener and a doer of democracy. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
Here is 2013 new music from sometimes Hudson resident Michelle Nadicello. The song is called Vuma.
Yeah.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and Philip Grant up in Rensselaer County and I are bringing you the WGXC Congressional Report, full of stories about what the candidates and representatives from the New York 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional districts have been up to this past week. Go to WGXC.org in the WGXC newsroom for complete coverage of your congressional representative.
Paul Kirby reports in the Daily Freeman that after a Texas judge ruled April 7th that it knows better than the Food and Drug Administration and effectively removed approval of the most commonly used method of abortion in the U.S., Ulster County-based Representative Pat Ryan reintroduced a bill on April 10th which would reaffirm that the FDA, and I quote, has clear and preemptive authority to regulate abortion medication, end quote, and I quote, not extremist courts, end quote. But unless he can convince several Republicans to vote in committee and on the floor for his bill, it won't go anywhere in the GOP-controlled House of Representatives. Ryan originally introduced the bill last fall when Democrats controlled the House and he represented the 19th Congressional District. Now Ryan represents the 18th Congressional District, and the Republican majority leaves him virtually powerless to pass legislation to make mifepristone accessible to women in New York and elsewhere. Ryan said, and I quote, mifepristone is a safe and effective medication that has been prescribed by doctors over two decades since the FDA approved it. However, the Texas decision has nothing to do with science or medicine and everything to do with radical groups whose only goal is a national abortion ban, end quote. He went on to say, and I quote, my priority is protecting abortion access for women in New York and across the country. This legislation will reaffirm the FDA's approval authority and protect doctors who use telemedicine to prescribe medication abortion, end quote. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Roger Hannigan Gilson reports in the Times Union that Democrat Josh Riley announced April 11th that he will try again in 2024 to beat Republican Mark Molinaro to represent the 19th District in Congress. Riley lost by a 1.5 percentage to Molinaro in the 2022 election and was one of the races that flipped the seat, giving the Republicans control of the House of Representatives. Riley is quickly gathering support to ward off other challenges, with chairs of 7 of the 11 county Democrat committees in the 19th district signing a letter of support for his campaign. The 19th congressional district was previously represented by Democrat Antonio Delgado, who abandoned the job to become lieutenant governor. Democrat Pat Ryan then won a special election to hold the seat for a few weeks, but then ran for the 18th. Congressional district after redistricting changed the maps. Molinaro has voted with conservative Republicans in his first month in office. Riley said the difference in returning the same election in 2024 is that Molinaro, and I quote, now has a record to run on, end quote. Daniel Butterman of Oneata also filed to run in the 19th district in February as a Democrat. Molinaro's campaign released a statement in response to Riley's announcement saying, and I quote, there's nearly 600 days until the 2024 election. I'm focused on delivering bipartisan results for upstate New York. I will run on this record if my opponent is Josh Riley, Daniel Butterman, or someone who has yet to announce, end quote. Riley lives in the 19th congressional district near Binghamton, while Molinaro lives outside the district in Dutchess County. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Joshua Solomon reports in the Times Union that Congressperson Elise Stefanik is starting a battleground fund to help elect more congressional Republicans in New York. This seems like an answer to the announcement in February of a Democrat-controlled super PAC pledging to raise and spend $45 million to get more Democrats elected to Congress from New York. Republicans currently control the House with a 5-member majority after flipping 4 seats in New York last year that had been held by Democrats. Stefanik is attempting to fund get-out-and-vote efforts with her Battleground Fund. First-term Representative Mark Molinaro is expected to be among the targets of the Democrat opposition campaign. Molinaro said, and I quote, Elise is an incredible fundraiser and knows what it takes to win. We are proud to have her as the leader of our delegation, end quote. Read the full story in the Times Union. Patricia R. Doxey reports in the Daily Freeman that State Senator Michelle Hinchey isn't ruling out running for the 19th congressional district seat now held by Republican Mark Molinaro. Hinchey is a Socrates-based Democrat whose late father, Maurice Hinchey, represented much of what is now the 19th district during his 20-year congressional career. In an email on April 11th, Hinchey said, and I quote, "The outpouring of support and encouragement to run for the 19th congressional district has been incredible. As a young woman watching what's happening in our country today, I am currently considering the best way I can keep helping people and improving our region," end quote. Hinchey was first elected to the state Senate in 2020. So far, Joseph Riley, the Democrat who lost to Molinaro in 2022, and Daniel Butterman of Oneata have announced they are running in the 19th congressional district in 2024. Molinaro's position on abortion was an issue in the last election, and after a recent court ruling from Texas, may again be in the 2024 campaign. So Hinchey could have an advantage over the other Democrats who have announced so far. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Nick Reisman reports at Spectrum News that Republican Representative Elise Stefanik announced on April 11th that she will run again in 2024 for the 21st Congressional District and has raised $3 million over the first 3 months of the year for her campaign. Stefanik is the House Conference Chair, the third Republican in line running the U.S. House of Representatives. Because of redistricting, the 21st Congressional District now includes Rensselaer County. The Malone Telegram reported on April 10th that Matt Castelling, the Democrat challenger to Stefanik last year, will not run again in 2024. In her statement announcing the 2024 run, Stefanik firmly aligned herself with the recently indicted former president. Stefanik said, and I quote, "We will work our hardest to defeat the Democrats across New York and the country to protect and expand our House majority and elect President Trump in 2024, end quote. Read more about this story at Spectrum News. Paul Kirby reports for the Daily Freeman that a few months ago, Representative Pat Ryan was on the floor of Congress asking for the CEO of Central Hudson Gas and Electric Corp. to resign. Now, after Central Hudson did change CEOs, the Democrat lawmaker and the embattled local power provider are teaming up for in-person, one-on-one customer service sessions to deal with individual billing problems. Ryan has been a persistent critic of Central Hudson's past estimated billing practices, as many local customers are getting giant bills and threats of turnoffs. Ryan, who represents the 18th Congressional District, said on April 11th that, and I quote, "At this point, the most productive way to fix these issues is to get people to sit down and look each other in the eye. We have an agreement for Central Hudson to work with my office to hold a series of meetings to give constituents so much as a chance to sit one-on-one with Central Hudson and figure out any issues with their bill," end quote. The two sides do not yet have specific details about the meetings. Central Hudson has eliminated the estimated billing, added nearly 50 new positions in customer billing and consumer outreach departments, and promises hiring another 36 people for its customer contact center. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Patricia R. Doxey is reporting in the Daily Freeman that Representative Mark Molinaro said on April 12th that he would oppose any attempts by Congress to link passage of a debt ceiling increase or the federal budget to changes to Social Security or Medicare. He promised to vote against reducing benefits for those receiving them or now paying into the federal system. Molinaro said, and I quote, Under no circumstance, will I vote for a debt ceiling limit or budget that diminishes Medicare or Social Security for senior citizens and those in the system today. Under no circumstance. There is a way by expanding economic growth, getting people back into the workplace, there is a way to both not only secure Medicare and Social Security services, but expand its benefit to those in future generations, and that is critically important, end quote. Molinaro lives in Dutchess County, out of the 19th congressional district, which he represents in Congress. He was speaking April 12th at the Diamond Mills Hotel for the Ulster County Regional Chamber of Commerce monthly breakfast meeting. Molinaro said he's been working with Democrat Pat Ryan, who represents Molinaro's Dutchess County, and the rest of the 18th congressional district. Molinaro and Ryan worked together on a bill reestablishing the Small Business Pipeline Act and to secure funding for the redevelopment of the former Tech City site in the town of Ulster. Molinaro said, and I quote, "We as a nation are in a very dangerous place, and that place is where we lack the tolerance to accept different views and opinions, and we lack the willingness to come together to confront those things that challenge us. This feeling that we can only, should only talk to those with whom we agree isn't healthy," end quote. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
This has been the WGXC Congressional Report, tracking the votes, statements, positions, and campaigns of the representatives and candidates for the 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional seats in New York. Go to WGXC.org for more information.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
On Tuesday, April 12th, faith leaders joined with 1199 SEIU healthcare workers at the state capitol to call on state lawmakers to reject various cuts in healthcare in Governor Hochul's proposed state budget. Last month, over 15,000 union members were in Albany to push their agenda. 1 million New Yorkers currently lack health insurance, and a million more are likely to lose Medicaid coverage when the official COVID public health emergency ends next month. The governor's proposed 5% Medicaid rate increase is entirely offset by the elimination of savings from the 340B drug pricing program and a cut to the indigent care pool. The budget includes cuts of $700 million from safety net hospitals, reverses direction on a major victory last year, which raised the pay of home care workers to $3 above the minimum wage, and reduces wages for consumer-directed home health aides by $4.09 an hour. The union and faith care leaders call for the state to invest $2.5 billion more in health care in the budget. We hear first from Marcel Denal, who served at the MC, followed by a short statement by Mark Emanation of the Capital District Labor Federation, Reverend Wes McNeil of the New York State Labor Religion Coalition, Reverend Aurelius Figueroa, and Rashida Tyler of the New York State Council of Churches. Reverend William Barber was scheduled to speak, but due to health issues, he joined via the internet.
For joining us today here, because it's time to close the Medicaid gap. It's time to pass the budget.
We do all the work. Mm-hmm. We create all of the wealth.
Yes.
The wealthy steal it from us.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the money they steal from us, they buy people in this building to do their bidding.
Yeah.
We have to force them to do our bidding.
It is a moral document, but it's only moral if the people behind it enforce that morality. Yep. That morality is what the people of New York need. Every single one of us deserves investment. Every single one of us deserves health care and housing, and we're here to fight for it.
We are going to be Reverend E. Wes McNeil and Minister Aurelius Figueroa.
My name is Reverend Wes McNeil, and I'm the Executive Director of the Labor Religion Coalition of New York State, and I'm also an ordained minister in the United Church of Christ. In the Gospel of John, Jesus said, "I came that they might have life, and they might have it abundantly." As people of faith, we know that God created a world of abundance, and God's prophets throughout the ages have called us to a way of life that celebrates and shares that abundance. Yet so often our society around us is stuck in this mindset of scarcity. And when it comes to talk about the state budget, for example, we hear a lot of hand-wringing and questioning whether we can afford to do things like guarantee healthcare and housing and education and pay people a fair wage. But we know that it's time to call a spade a spade. Forbes came out with its annual list of billionaires last week, and there are 101 billionaires living in New York City alone. New York does not have a problem of scarcity. New York has a problem of greed and wanting to consolidate power at the top. And so while the wealth of millionaires and billionaires has risen over the past few decades, the safety net in this state has been eroded and eroded. And that's what Governor Hochul wants to continue to do. She's proposing to make unconscionable cuts to safety net hospitals. She wants to go back on her word to ensure that all New Yorkers, including all immigrant New Yorkers, can have access to healthcare through the Essential Plan. And she's proposed to get rid of the raise that home healthcare workers won last year. That ain't right. I want to talk about that for just a second. New York, as you all know, has the worst shortage of home healthcare workers in this country. And that means that our neighbors, the elderly, people with disabilities, are going without the care that they need and that they are supposed to get. This is a life and death emergency. And research has shown that at the heart of this crisis is that workers don't make enough. Last year, the Fair Pay for Home Care campaign and 1199, so many of you fought. And because of your pressure, only because of your pressure, Governor Hochul agreed to a small raise for home health care workers. That raise was not going to be enough. And as it turns out, a lot of that money has gone into the hands of insurance companies and hasn't even gotten to the workers. But to make it worse, Governor Hochul is proposing to even take that away this year. And that is unacceptable. We need fair pay for home care now. And that we cut the safety net. It hurts the people who our faiths have told us to care about the most. The poor, the sick, people with disabilities, the elderly, immigrants, all other marginalized communities. These people are suffering. And it also makes the rest of us afraid. Because we know that if we lose a job or we get sick, there's not going to be a net to catch us either. And whose interest does it serve when we are afraid? Those billionaires, the people who want us to keep working for low wages and not speak up. But that's not what we're going to do. And so today I want us to hear again the message that angels and prophets have given to our ancestors. Be not afraid. And when we come together and fight together, we can and will create a society where that abundance is shared and no one gets left behind.
Next is Reverend Aurelius Figueroa of the New York State Council of Churches.
God is setting my people and he's gone on far too long. Yes, he's gone on far too long. I tell you, he's gone on far too long. These people, this is a movement church. This is a church founded in the tradition of the Freedom Church. The Freedom Church for the Poor, that turned coined by Martin Luther King when he was organizing the Poor People's Campaign. And as an immigrant myself, as a leader of an immigrant community, we are here to support and to demand coverage for all people, regardless immigration status.
Right.
This is a country of immigrants. Immigrants put food in our table.
That's right.
We have been called essential during the pandemic and then treated like a disposable. We are here demanding, and we know that it can be done. Yeah. It can be done, right, by applying for a federal 1332 waiver. It can be done. They cannot be now saying that it cannot. That's why we are here. Scarcity is a liar, right? So we are here demanding
covers for all people, all low-income people, regardless.
Council of Churches.
Inequality. Inequality looks like someone having to take the day off of work because they have tooth pain. They have not been able to go to the dentist because the wait for a dentist is 3 months long, 4 months long. Because there are no dentists in their area that accept Medicaid, they may have to travel. It looks like a mother trying to juggle the bills to pay the rent and actually trying to juggle shifts and pick up more hours. It looks like a home healthcare worker trying her best for her patient on, even though she doesn't have enough gas, even though she doesn't have enough to make rent. That is what inequality looks like. Inequality is something that is throughout New York State, but we have the funds, we have the ability to rein that in. If you have ever had the experience of getting approved for health care and saying, this is wonderful. I finally have health care that I can go and get something checked out. But then finding out the doctors are like this small that will take the amount of, they take the insurance that you have. That is the reality for thousands of New Yorkers because Medicaid does not actually provide a fair reimbursement. So doctors will not accept it. Countless doctors will not accept it.